Well, this is Christopher Radio Bar Radio. I'm excited to be back with you today. I have some follow-up to do with Tucker Carlson. Tucker Carlson was on the Lex Fridman podcast number 414, where he talks about a number of different things. But he talks about Putin and he talks about Russia. I wanted to come back on here because I think the discussion is important and needs to be had in regards to what we're saying and doing in relationship to understanding the Ukraine war, understanding what's going on with our press, with our media, and looking honestly at what is being portrayed to us. I'm not looking for these things on purpose, intentionally, or with malice. They're just popping up, and it's just like, hey, what you're saying doesn't make any sense. And you're saying the exact opposite of what you are doing. I don't understand this. I don't understand why you're doing the exact opposite of what you're saying, but you're doing it. He didn't understand Putin during his interview. He didn't understand why he was doing the things that he was doing. He didn't understand why the interview went the way that it went. And I made the case that Putin was eager, excited to try to put his point across because he is a student of history. And he was looking for Tucker Carlson to come in and change the perspective and the American viewpoint on what's going on with the Ukraine war. And he, you know, put hope and faith that this information was going to come out and it was going to help people understand that he's not a bad guy. He's not a bad dude. But it did not get put across in this way. So I want to look at two clips from Lex Fridman's show, and we're going to talk about them because I think it's clear in understanding that there is an agenda that is being pushed by the press, and even the press that we think is friendly, even the press that we think is doing good, there's some ulterior motives that's going on. So let's look at this.
You said leaders kill, leaders lie.
Yeah. I don't believe in leaders very much. Like this whole, like, oh, Zelensky's Jesus and Putin's Satan. It's like, no, they're all leaders of countries, okay? Like, grow up a little bit, you child. Have you ever met a leader? Like, all of the, first of all, anyone who seeks power is damaged morally, in my opinion. You shouldn't be seeking power. You can't seek power or wealth for its own sake and remain a decent person. That's just true. So there aren't any like really virtuous.
So I understand this thought and I understand this process that he has, because when you look at some of the early founding fathers, one of the things that they said was, you know, we want to guard against tyranny. We want to guard against having a king. But we have unfortunately went back to that same root system, that same mentality where we do in effect have a king. And, you know, I understand this thought process that Tucker has, but let's listen at some more of what he says, because he's going to make the case that if a country is doing well, the people are doing well. So if this is the case, why the hatred for Vladimir Putin? Some of the things that he says, he should apply here in the United States. And I'm not saying that he's not, but he's, to me, his whole interview, his whole process has been Vladimir Putin is the devil. Doesn't fit when you listen at the criteria that he has set and established for what a leader should do.
Billionaires, and there aren't any really virtuous world leaders. You have grades of virtue. Some are better than others, for sure. But, I mean, in other words, Zelensky may be better than Putin. I'm open to that possibility. But to claim that one is evil and the other is virtuous, it's like you're revealing that you're a child. You don't know anything about how the world actually is or what reality is. Like it's
that's quite a realist perspective, but there is a spectrum.
There's a spectrum. Absolutely. I'm not saying.
So I like how Lex Friedman pulls him back into reality, because Tucker Carlson just, he just is who he is. He's not really, you know, something must have scared him on his way over there. Someone must have threatened him. It just, the behavior just doesn't make any sense. But Friedman has a balanced approach to saying what he said, and that is, there are some good leaders.
They're all the same. They're not.
And our task is to figure out where on the spectrum they lie. And the leader's task is to confuse us and convince us they're one of the good guys.
Of course. But I actually reject even that formulation. I don't think it's always about the leaders. I mean, of course, the leaders make the difference. A good leader has a healthy country, and a bad leader has a decaying country.
Listen.
Which is something to think about.
Listen.
But it's about the ideas and the policies and the practical effect of things. So we're very much caught up in the personalities of various leaders.
We are caught up here in the United States with the personalities of leaders. For some reason, unbeknownst to me, Barack Obama, Joe Biden, you know, people love their personalities versus what they can do, what they have been doing, what they are doing, what they're not doing, you know. Joe Biden just gave the State of the Union speech this past Thursday, and it was a rip-roaring speech. And we're going to go over that in a later podcast. But people loved the personality, the drive that he showed, that he exhibited for as long as he could exhibit it. And what do we have? We have nothing. We have nothing to show for it. But listen closely at what Tucker's saying about what a good leader should have.
Not just our political leaders, but our business leaders, our cultural leaders. Are they good people? Do they have the right thoughts? It's like, no, I ask a much more basic question. What are the fruits of their behavior? And I always make it personal, because I think everything is personal. Does his wife respect him? Do his children respect him? How are they doing? Is the country he runs thriving, or is it falling apart? If your life expectancy is going down, if your suicide rate is going up, if your standard of living is tanking, you're not a good leader. I don't care what you tell me. I don't care what you claim you represent. I don't care about the ideas or the systems that you say you embody. It's dogs barking to me.
So can you apply this to Vladimir Putin, Tucker? Can you apply that? Can you give him the benefit of the doubt in look at what he is doing, contributing, trying to help his people, trying to help the people of Ukraine, who called out to him and said, hey, they're trying to strip away our Russian heritage, our Russian culture away from us. And he stepped in. He stepped in and said, enough's enough. Listen.
How's your life expectancy? How's your suicide rate? What's drug use like? Are people having children? Are people's children more likely to live in a freer, more prosperous society than you did and their grandparents did? Like, those are the only measures that matter to me. The rest is a lie.
Does this make sense?
But anyway, the point is, we just get so obsessed with, like, the theater around people or people. And we miss the bigger things that are happening, and we allow ourselves to be deceived into thinking that what doesn't matter at all matters, that moral victories are all that matters. No, actually, facts on the ground victories matter more than anything. I mean, you certainly see it in this country. Black Lives Matter, for example. How many black people did that help?
Listen.
It hurt a lot of black people, but in the end, we should be able to measure it. You know, like, what? How many black people have died by gunfire in the 4 years since George Floyd died? Well, the number's gone way, way up. And that was a Black Lives Matter operation, defund the police. So I think we can say, as a factual matter, a data-based matter, Black Lives Matter didn't help black people.
Sure didn't.
And if it did, tell me how. Well, these are important moral victories. I'm over that. That's just another lie, you know, a long litany of lies. So I try to see the rest of the world that way. And but more than anything, I try to see world events through the lens of an American, because I am one. And what does this mean for us? And it's not even the war, it's the sanctions that will for.
So I wanted to bring this out because he's about to say the sanctions that the United States put against Putin were wrong. Even though he said it, he is standing by this principle and belief. Listen.
Ever change the United States, our standard of living, the way our government operates, that more than any single thing in my lifetime screwed the United States.
And this is exactly what Putin was telling us. The sanctions that we put on his country didn't hurt him. It hurt us.
Levying those sanctions in the way that we did was crazy. And that was that for me, the main takeaway from my 8 days in Moscow was not Putin. He's a leader with whatever. They're, none of them are that different, actually, in my pretty extensive experience. No, it was Moscow. That blew my mind. I was not prepared for that at all. And I thought I knew a lot about Moscow. My dad worked there on and off in the 80s and 90s because he's a U.S. government employee, and he was always coming back to Moscow. It's a nightmare and all this stuff, no electricity. I got there almost exactly 2 years after sanctions, totally cut off from Western financial systems, kicked out of SWIFT, can't use U.S. dollars, no banking, no credit cards. And that city, it, just factually, it's, I'm not endorsing the system. I'm not endorsing the whole country. I didn't go to Lake Baikal. You know, I didn't go to Turkmenistan. I just went to Moscow, largest city in Europe, 13 million people. I drove all around it. And that city is way nicer, outwardly anyway, I don't live there, than any city we have by a lot. And by nicer, let me be specific. No graffiti, no homeless, no people using drugs in the street, totally tidy, no garbage on the ground, and no forest of steel and concrete soul-destroying buildings. None of the postmodern architecture that oppresses us without even our knowledge.
What do you think about that? Again, he just gave us a list of criteria of things that would show that you're a good leader, but he cannot, in his mind, eschew this to Vladimir Putin. He just went to Moscow. He saw how clean it was. He saw that there was no drugs on the street. He saw that there was no homelessness. He saw all of the good things. The architecture was good. It was clean. It was safe. Why can't you give Vladimir Putin the credit that he deserves? Why can't you talk? And you see what I'm saying by there's two different standards. There's two different viewpoints that they want you to believe. He's saying all of these things and they're good and it makes him look good. You know, you have to have character and where's the fruit at? The fruit that Putin has is showing itself. What stinks is our fruit. What stinks is our American fruit that we have.
None of that crap. It's a truly beautiful city. And that's not an endorsement of Putin. And by the way, it didn't make me love Putin. It made me hate my own leaders because I grew up in a country that had cities kind of like that, that were nice cities, that were safe. And we don't have that anymore. And how did that happen? Did Putin do that? I don't think Putin did that, actually. I think the people in charge of it, the mayors, the governors, the president, they did that. And they should be held accountable for it.
And he's right. So, he's right. Because if you look at the cities, Baltimore in our area, Philadelphia in our area, the leadership in those cities has run them down to nothing. Even in our hometown of Dover, you know, there's so many blighted conditions, abandoned. There's no money coming into these cities other than the things that are not good. And with our economy the way that it is being destroyed by the policies of we have to have electronic vehicles. You know, we're going to shut all industry down. We're going to shut the gas and the oil industries down. And we're not going to produce any more of those things because we don't want to hurt the environment. The manufacturing that has left the United States, it's causing our cities to be the way that they are. And, it brings up the point of where's the leadership here in our country? Where's the ability to stand up and do what's right? You know, we just went through the crisis of not being able to get a bag from Walmart in the store for grocery shopping. You got to buy bags. You got to remember to put the bags in your car, you know, and then when you do buy the bags, it's stupid because of the environment. We're trying to save the environment that doesn't need to be saved. It cleans itself. It fixes itself. God ordained the environment to fix itself. But we, in our own stupid thinking, stupid mind processes, are running ourselves into the ground because we think we're doing something. So I think where we're getting ready to go is Tucker's about to say something else that's just completely mind-blowing. Let's listen in.
I think cleanliness and architectural design is not
the cleanliness.
The entirety of the metrics that matter when you measure a city.
They're the main metrics that matter. They're the main metrics that matter. The main metrics that matter are cleanliness, safety, and beauty, in my opinion. And one of the big lies that we are told in our world is that no, something you can't measure that has no actual effect on your life matters most. Bullshit. What matters most, to say it again, beauty, safety, cleanliness. Lots of other things matter too. A whole bunch of things matter. But if I were to put them in order, it's not some like theoretical, well, actually, I don't know if you know that the Duma has no power. It's like, okay, I get that. Freedom of speech matters enormously to me. They have less freedom of speech in Russia than we do in the United States. We are superior to them in that way.
Is that true? Is that true? Try to post something anywhere and see who comes in. See the thought police that comes in after you here in the United States.
But you can't tell me that living in a city where, you know, your six-year-old daughter can walk to the bus stop and ride on a clean bus or ride in a beautiful subway car that's on time and not get assaulted, that doesn't matter. No, that matters almost more than anything.
Sure actually. Does.
And we can have both. And like the normal regime defenders and morons, John Stewart or whatever he's calling himself, they're like, well, that's the price of freedom. Like people shitting on the sidewalk is the price of freedom. It's like, you can't fool me because I've lived here for 54 years. I know that it's not the price of freedom because I lived in a country that was both free and clean and orderly. So that's not a trade-off I think I have to make, which is...
So that's honest. And I'm glad he finally gave his true viewpoints, true feelings about what's going on here in the United States. But you can't ascribe that to Russia and say that they're bad because Tucker Carlson, they met your criteria. They're clean, they're safe. What else do you want? How else do you want Putin to prove himself? I thought this was interesting that he said this after having an interview, and he said this with Lex Fridman on his podcast. Listen at this next thing, because I think this is going to be eye-opening to you as well. Here we go. This is definitely it for sure.
What's the option? You're the leader of the country. You can't leave. Like Stalin never left Moscow during the war. It was surrounded by the Germans, as you know, for a year, and he didn't leave. And when I was in Russia, they're like, well, Stalin never left. It's like, yeah, he's the leader of the country. You can't. I mean, like, that's just table stakes, of course. I would say... But you raise an interesting, by implication, question, which is, you know, what about Kiev? Like, you think the Russians couldn't level Kiev? Of course, obviously they could. Why haven't they? They could, but they haven't.
Well, there's military answers to that, which is urban warfare is extremely difficult.
Do you think that Putin wants to take Kiev?
No, I do think he expected Zelensky to flee and somebody else to come into power.
That may be totally. I don't know. I don't think. I have no idea what Putin was thinking when he did that about Zelensky. I didn't ask him. But it's a mistake to imagine this is a contest between Putin and Zelensky.
See this here. This is something that's clear. Maybe this is the pressure point that Tucker Carlson is experiencing because they don't want this truth brought out, that it's not really Putin and Zelensky, but it's Putin versus the United States, because the United States is pulling the buttons, pushing the trigger points between Ukraine and Putin. So maybe this is why Tucker Carlson is doing what he's doing and trying to, you know, play both sides against each other. But it doesn't make him look good, because he's telling on himself and revealing the truth about this whole situation. And the truth is, the United States has been doing regime change in Ukraine since 2014. And we're responsible for the lives that have been lost because of these regime changes. Listen closely.
This is Putin versus the U.S. State Department. I mean, Zelensky, and that's why I said I felt sorry for him. I mean, as I said, we're literally paying the pensions of Ukrainian bureaucrats. So there is no Ukrainian government independent of the U.S. government. And, you know, maybe you're for that, maybe you're against it, but you can't endorse that in the same sentence that you use the term democracy, because that's not a democracy, right? Obviously.
Well, that's why it's interesting that he didn't really bring up NATO extensively.
He wants a settlement. He wants a settlement, and he doesn't want to fight with them rhetorically. And he just wants to get this done. And he made a bunch of offers at the peace deal. And, you know, we wouldn't even know this happened if the Israelis hadn't told us, and I'm so grateful that they did, that Johnson was dispatched by the State Department to stop it. And it's like, I mean, I think Boris Johnson is a husk of a man, but imagine if you were Boris Johnson and you know, you spend your whole life with Ukraine flag pin, I'm for Ukraine. And then all those kids died because of what you did. And the lines haven't really moved. It hasn't been a victory for Ukraine. It's not going to be a victory for Ukraine. It's like, how do you feel about yourself if you did that? I mean, I've done.
So these are the bombshell truths that should have came out when Tucker Carlson was talking to Vladimir Putin. There's not going to be a victory for Ukraine. You can take your flags down. You can stop trying to cheer them on, push them on. We're feeding money into something that we really should not be in. We should not be doing anything other than backing out, letting this internal war go on between these two countries by themselves. And if you remember in the interview, Putin said this would be over if the United States wouldn't stop giving them money. If the United States would stop giving them money, because they cannot sustain themselves. And we're dragging this on. Hard to believe that this has been 2 years, but it's 2 years for this war in Ukraine. And nothing is changing other than that, you know, more and more Ukrainian citizens are dying at the hands of, I'm going to say, the United States, because we're prolonging this thing.
A lot of shitty things in my life, I feel bad about them. But I've never extended a war for no reason. Like, that's a pretty grave sin, in my opinion, you know?
Yes, that's right. That was a failure. But it doesn't mean you can't have a success over and over and over, keep having negotiations between leaders.
Well, we're not, the U.S. government is not allowing negotiations. And so...
Do you hear that? Confirmation again. Putin said the very same thing, and I'm glad that it got through to Tucker. We are not allowing negotiations to take place with Ukraine.
Oh, that for me is the most upsetting part. It's like, in the end, what Russia does, I'm not implicated in that. What Ukraine does, I'm not implicated in that. I'm not Russian or Ukrainian. I'm an American who grew up really believing in my country. I'm supporting my country through my tax dollars. And it's like, I really care about what the U.S. government does, because they're doing it in my name. And I care a lot because I'm American. And we're the impediment to peace, which is another way of saying we're responsible for all these innocent people getting right. dragooned out of public parks in Kiev and sent to go die.
That's like, right.
What? How, that is not good. I'm ashamed of it.
What do you think of Putin saying that justification for continuing the war is denazification?
I thought it was one of the dumbest things I'd ever heard.
Yep, you would, Tucker. You would. You would think it was one of the dumbest things you've ever heard. But ladies and gentlemen, we're getting ready to hear what Tucker really thinks about this denazification thing, and he downplays it. He downplays it to the point that I have to highlight this, because we have been in the classic battle of the Antichrist spirit versus God. the Antichrist spirit against Christ. And those nations who are Antichrist in nature, who do not believe Jesus Christ was the Son of God, was the prophet of God, was the savior of the entire world, these people are banding together under whatever flag it is, whether it's Hinduism, Buddhism, Islam, Hare Krishnas, all of it. They're banding together under the Antichrist spirit's flag, and they're working together. You got to see this for what it is. They're working together in order to try to bring about that new one world government that has been prophesied about for centuries. Listen.
I didn't understand what it meant. Denazification?
It literally means what it sounds like.
You know, I have a lot of thoughts on this. I hate that whole conversation because it's not real. It's just ad hominem. It's a way of associating someone with an evil regime that doesn't exist anymore.
So for Tucker Carlson to say that the Nazi regime does not exist anymore shows that there's a serious problem. A serious problem. Do you realize that the Jews are being persecuted by the same Nazi Antichrist spirit? Do you realize that the Jews here in the United States and Canada on this side of the world are being persecuted? Do you realize, Tucker Carlson, that this same Nazi spirit was released out of Germany? They left. Our military has proof that the leaders from Germany went to the Middle East, and they're seen in photographic evidence that they are there with the Middle Eastern people trying to further push their agenda for hatred for the Jews. And Tucker Carlson, if you refuse to see it, I'm here to tell you that this is what's going on. And for you to be in denial about the neo-Nazism and the Nazism and all of this stuff that to me goes under the umbrella of the Antichrist spirit, there's a deeper problem than what I thought.
But in point of fact, Nazism, whatever it was, is inseparable from the German nation. It was a nationalist movement in Germany. There were no other Nazis, right? There's no book of Nazism. Like, I want to be a Nazi. What is it? What does it mean to be a Nazi? There's no idea. There's no Mein Kampf. I mean, there's no Mein Kampf is not Das Kapital, right? Mein Kampf is like, to the extent I understand it, it's like he's pissed about the Treaty of Versailles. Whatever. I'm very anti-Nazi. I'm merely saying there isn't a Nazi movement in 2024. It's a way.
What is wrong with him? What is wrong with him?
A of calling people evil. Okay, Putin doesn't like nationalist Ukrainians. Putin hates nationalism in general, which is interesting. But of course he does. He's got 80 whatever republics, and he's afraid of nationalist movements. He fought a war in Chechnya over this. So I understand it, but I have a different, I'm for national, I'm for American nationalism. So like, I disagree with Putin on that. But calling them Nazis, it's like, I thought it was childish.
Well, I do believe that he believes it.
So that's so.
So thank you, Mr. Friedman. He does believe it. And this is why he went so extensively into detail in that interview with Tucker Carlson, trying to explain it to him in hopes that Tucker Carlson would get it. But Tucker did not get it. You can see, I don't know how long after this interview was. It was probably a week or so. Tucker Carlson still does not get what's going on.
I agree with that. I was listening to this because in the United States, everyone's always calling everyone else a Nazi. You're a Nazi. Okay. But I was listening to this and I was like, this is the dumbest sort of not convincing line you could take. And I sat there and listened to him talk about Nazis for like 8 minutes. And I'm like, I think he believes this.
Yeah, and I actually, you know, having had a bunch of conversations with people who are living in Russia, they also believe it. Now, there's technicalities here.
They believe it because it's happening, Lex Friedman, Tucker Carlson. It's happening. It's happening. This is why they believe it. They've been persecuted by the Nazis and the neo-Nazis in Ukraine. Their children are dying. Their children are being harmed. You know, they're losing their businesses. They're being blackmailed by this part of the Zelensky government. They're in the government.
The word Nazi, the World War II is deeply in the blood of a lot of Russians and Ukrainians.
I get it.
So you're using it as almost.
And I want to draw this point out again, because I said this when we went through the interview. Everybody in the League of Nations and in the United Nations and at the end of World War II said, we don't want this to happen again. We don't want this Nazism to go around the world. And we all agree, and Russia was on the side of the Allies. He was on our side. They were on our side. But neo-Nazi... So, Tucker Carlson, you expect me to believe that neo-Nazism and Nazism has been completely wiped away from the face of the earth. That's baloney. That's baloney. And there's no way in the world that you can ascribe that and say that with any clarity or any truth. Unless something's happened to you.
It's a political term. Yes. The way it's used in the United States also, like racism and all this kind of stuff. Because you know you can really touch people if you use the Nazi.
I think that's totally right.
But it's also, to me, a really like disgusting thing to do.
I agree.
Because, and also to clarify, there is neo-Nazi movements in Ukraine.
Thank you for at least admitting that. Thank you for admitting that. Here we go.
Which is just very small. You're saying that there's this distinction between Nazis.
So because they're small, that means that they aren't doing any damage at all, Mr. Friedman, Tucker Carlson? They're small, so they're insignificant.
A neo-Nazi, sure. But it's a small percentage of the population, a tiny percentage. They have no power in government. I have seen no data to show they have any influence on Zelensky and Zelensky government.
No data to prove that they have any influence on Zelensky. Not true.
At all. So really when Putin says denazification, I think he means nationalist movements.
I think no, you're right. Doesn't. And I agree with everything you said. And I do think that the Second World War occupies a place in Slavic society, Polish society, you know, Central Eastern Europe, that it does not occupy in the United States. And you can just look at the death totals, you know, tens of millions versus less than 500,000. So it's like this eliminated a lot of the male population of these countries. So of course it's still resonant in those countries. I get it. I've watched the misuse of words, the weaponization of words for political reasons for so long that I just don't like.
So he's about to accuse Vladimir Putin of using the word neo-Nazi, Nazism, as a political weapon in order to stir up emotions and feelings and get people on his side. This is not what Putin is doing. It's not. But Tucker's convinced that, you know, this American mindset that Russia is the devil and America is God is wrong. It's just wrong.
And though I do engage in it sometime, I'm sorry, I don't like just dismissing people in a word. Oh, he's a Nazi, he's a liberal or whatever. It's like, tell me what you mean. What don't you like about what they're doing or saying? And Nazi especially, it's, I don't even know what the hell you're talking about.
What troubled me about that is because he said that that's the primary objective currently for the war. And that, because it's not grounded in reality, it makes it difficult to then negotiate peace.
So, Vladimir Putin is not grounded in reality because he's trying to address and deal with neo-Nazis and Nazis in Ukraine. And because of that, this is the sole reason that there's no negotiations going on right now. Remember, I just showed you what Tucker Carlson said. I just told you out of his own mouth. He put the tie with the United States and Ukraine, and the United States told Boris Johnson of England to go over there and say, we're not going to negotiate. Nope, that's not. He didn't say that. Lex Friedman. Lex Friedman and Tucker Carlson believes that it's this thing with dealing with the neo-Nazism because He's in a delusional state. You see the words that they're using. They're trying to make this as confusing as possible, and it's not intended to be confusing. It's simple. You have dark, you have light. They're fighting against each other. You have the Antichrist spirit, and you have Christ. They're fighting against each other. This is simple. Don't overcomplicate this.
Because, like, what does it mean to get rid of the Nazis in Ukraine? So, like, he'll come to the table and say, well, okay, I will agree to do ceasefire once the Nazis are gone. Okay, so can you list the Nazis?
I totally agree. Plus, can you negotiate with a Nazi?
Right, exactly.
I totally agree with you.
It was very strange, but maybe it was perhaps had to do with speaking to his own population and also probably trying to avoid the use of the word NATO. As the justification for the war.
Yes, that's all. I don't know, but I suspect you're right on both counts. But I would say it points to something that I've thought more and more since I did that interview, which was like 2 weeks ago, I guess. I didn't think he was like as a PR guy, not very good, like not good at telling his own story. You know, the story of the current war in Ukraine is the eastward expansion of NATO and scaring the shit out of the Russians. With NATO expansion, which is totally unnecessary, doesn't help the United States. NATO itself doesn't help the United States. And so I'm not pro-Russian for saying that. I'm pro-American for saying that. And I think that's a really compelling story because it's true.
So there you have it. This is where we're at right now. We're dealing with this crisis with Ukraine, but we're also dealing with the negative release of information that is coming from the press. The fourth leg of our government, and they're deceiving and they're tricking people into believing that Vladimir Putin is delusional, Vladimir Putin is the devil, and anything that he says is because he just wants to acquire more land for his nation, and he's not doing these things because he has character. Hey, I can't make you drink the water. I can show you. Prove me wrong. You know, there's some who are going to view this video and say, you don't know what you're talking about, and this isn't what's really going on. I'm here to tell you, we've got problems. We've got problems that need to be fixed and solved, and it's not going to happen through our government leaders. There are people in the press because they have all become corrupted. Listen at this a couple times. Get it in your spirit. Realize that the truth is more important, that it comes out, and that we allow that truth to speak to our hearts. I want to thank you for listening. This has been Christopher at Radiant Fire Radio. Again, just a little follow-up on Tucker Carlson and the interview concerning Vladimir Putin. Thank you. God bless. We're committed to excellence and truth as we conduct spiritual overwatch for your soul. We're committed to bringing the whole gospel to you. Simple truths, given with intellectual integrity, far better than Fox News and CNN combined. Please feel free to contact us with questions, comments, concerns at christopher@radiantfire.org. Like us on Facebook, LinkedIn, YouTube, Amazon, Pandora, iHeartRadio, and more. Until next time.
That was your overwatch, Einstein. You can thank him later.